We are up to Perek Chofres, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, again, Perek Chofres, Pasuk Gimel. Viraglayim Tera Masna. We are discussing the conquest of the Aseres Hashvatim Haftim, which appears many, many times in Sefer Yeshaya. Many different angles, different perspectives, different messages. So again, we revisit this idea. And Yeshaya is describing what's going to happen. The Melech Ashur will come, and in three waves. That was the passage we mentioned yesterday. Three different descriptions of a power where he will ascend and conquer and exile the Aseres Hashvatim and put an end to the Malchus of Yisrael. With the expression of a zerem of borod, and then the second expression was the sar kotef, and the third expression was a zerem mayim kabirim shaitefim. And these three expressions of power, three waves of conquest, are all in punishment for the arrogance of Ephraim, referring to Malchus of Yisrael, and for their the pursuit of materialism, which is described here as their intoxication with Yayin, Shikorei Ephraim. And here he continues describing what's going to happen. Biraglayim Teramasna, they will be trampled by feet. And the feet here, of course, refer to the feet, to the army, the enemy of Sancheriv. Sancheriv will metaphorically step upon them and tremble upon them. Ateres Geyush Shikorei Ephraim, the same four words describing. He will step upon their arrogance, their crown of arrogance, the intoxicated Malchus of Yisrael, referring to by the name of Ephraim. Pasuk Daled, again the same thing. V'hoyson will be Tzitzas Nevel Tzvi Sefarto. We'll translate these words backwards. The Tzvi, the beauty, his splendorous, his glorious beauty. Sefarto is glorious, Tzvi is beauty, his glorious beauty, which is comparable to a withering flower. The tzitzas, the flower, noivel, withering, it appears to look beautiful, but after it's disconnected from its source, it immediately withers and turns into dust. So this beautiful withering flower, which is beautiful, ashal rosh geishmonim, which this crown, which rests upon the head of arrogance, the gay means the valley of oil, as we described yesterday, that is another example, another metaphor describing their pursuit of materialism. In ancient times, people that were wealthy would rub their heads in oil, and they were kavyachim intoxicated, or they pursued this lifestyle to the degree where it's described not just a small amount of oil is rubbing their heads, but it's as if they're drowning in a valley of oil. They will be like kivikura, like a ripened fig, the terem kayitz, right before the summer. Figs ripen before the summer begins. That's when the fig is in its prime. It's luscious, it's delicious. Asher yireh ho-ro-yeh oisa, when someone comes to the field, to the orchard, and sees a ripened fig on the tree, he is so overwhelmed and taken, he doesn't even have time to pluck it off the tree. He eats it off the tree. It's like you go into the kitchen and you're so hungry, you eat the food out of the pot. You don't even have the patience to take the food from the pot to a plate and sit down at a table. You just gulp down the food right out of the pot. That's the same metaphor when a person comes into an orchard and he sees the luscious fruits. Instead of collecting the fruits and putting them into a basket and coming home and being mafish, chumas, and maestros, and making a bracha and sitting down and doing it the way you should eat in the proper way, a person, a glutton, just takes the branch and puts the fruit to his mouth and eats the fruit off the branch of the tree. And that's what means bichapo. Bichapo here means the branch. That's how most unfortunately learn in some way. While the bikur literally means something that is like a firstborn. Something that has blossomed, a first fruit, like bikurim, your first fruits. But in the context here, it refers to figs. Figs blossom because it says here, "Matem kayitz," and figs are fruits which blossom right before the summer. And she'asher yireh haroye, or a person who comes to the field and sees it, be'oida v'chapo yivlo, and yivlo means to swallow it. He swallows the fig while it's still attached to the branch of the tree. And this pasuk is giving a metaphor that when the enemy, Sancher, will come, they will see the wealth. The Malchus of Yisrael, they were extremely wealthy. They had palaces, they had luxuries, they had food, they had everything. And they thought that they will live forever. No one will be able to, it's impossible for someone to take away their possessions. Hashem is telling them through Yishai that's not so. When our enemy enters into the land, he will see your wealth, your possessions. And the enemy is not accustomed to this. Where they come from in Asher, they're not so rich. They're poor. And they're just overwhelmed. And they just grab, they'll take your property, your possessions, your money, and they'll swallow it up so fast, so quickly, because they're not accustomed to seeing such luxuries. And that's how your end will come very swiftly and suddenly. Pasuk Hey, Bayamahu. And so this pretty much finishes in only a few psukim describing the Churban, because again, this theme has been repeated so many times here in other Sfarim, describing the Churban of the Malchus of Yisrael. The whole thing really was described in no more than four psukim. We describe their arrogance, their intoxication with materialism, and how the enemy will come in three waves and destroy them with three different metaphors, and describing that the sudden and abrupt end of the Malchus of Yisrael. What's next? So we know the story. After Sanherib succeeds in conquering the Malchus of Yisrael, he goes on to conquer the Malchus of Yehuda. He just goes down south, and he begins to conquer, to wipe out one community one after another, and he succeeds and very quickly, and he's about to conquer Yerushalayim. Suddenly he gets an emergency message that there's a rebellion in Ashdod. There's a rebellion far away, so he's diverted. He has to go back and put down the rebellion, but he says, don't worry, I'm going to come back. He returns, and he brings with him his entire army and all of the other nations which have joined him, and they're about to conquer Yerushalayim. And miraculously, the night before the conquest, all of his soldiers and his generals die, and the survivors can be counted on a person's hand. The few survivors are nothing more than a few number. On that day, so we're jumping ahead a little bit after he succeeds in conquering the Malchus of Yisrael, he now goes to conquer the Malchus of Yehuda, and then he fails, everyone dies. Bayom Hahu, on that day, referring to the miracle, it was Pesach, night of Pesach, Yihyeh Hashem Tzivakos, he will be La Teres Tzvi, for a crown of beauty. The Litzfiras Tifarot, Tzifiras is a word which means the same thing. It means a crown of splendor. These two expressions parallel one another. L'sha'or Amo, for the remnant of his nation, referring to the Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda were tzaddikim through the leadership of Chizkiyahu. He influenced them to learn and study Torah. And that's Chus. They were saved, and they became, and as we learned many times, he was right to Mashiach. It was a time, it was a very, very good time in the history of Klal Yisrael at this moment when they survived the onslaught of Sancheirf. Pasuk continues, Uluruach Mishpat, and through the Zuchus of Torah, of learning Torah, they were a spirit of Mishpat. That the Nevi'im will always criticize in Klal Yisrael, that there's corruption, there is theft and justice. So finally, at this point in time, through the leadership of Chizkiyahu, there was a spirit. It's amazing. It's not just mishpat. It's one thing in a person is wronged, and you go to court, and you spend $1 million on the best lawyers, and years, you fight it out. And finally, when it's all over, you know, you always see these clips. We're happy today after 25 years, 30 years, finally, justice was served. Okay, at what expense? 30 years of Agmas Nefesh and millions of dollars. Okay, fine, it's right. Justice is finally served, but at what expense? At what cost? But it's more than that. It's an environment of Mishpat. It's not just we got lucky, good lawyers. The whole culture, the whole Avira is Mishpat, or a Ruach of Mishpat. When you live your life, everything has to be according to the halach. Everything has to be just. There's no tolerance in society of any injustice. Ulur ruach. It's a very powerful expression. It's not just mishpat. It's a ruach of mishpat, an environment of mishpat. La yesheva hala mishpat. For those that sit al mishpat, referring to the malchus of Yehuda, all the citizens of Yehuda, those that sit al mishpat refers specifically to the Talmidei Chachamim, We'll read the Mitzvahs in one moment. V'ligvura, and for might, mishivei milchama sh'ar, for those that return. Mishivei means to return, milchama, from war. Mishivei milchama sh'ar, to the gate. Meaning that in the sechus of learning Torah, there's no war. Talmidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, and they don't have to risk their lives by going outside the gates of the city to fight battles, put their life in jeopardy. There's peace in the world. They're able to return into within the gates of the city. They are secure. There's peace. So mishivei milchama shar, in the merit of Torah and the merit of mishpat, and the merit of Yoshev, that there will be people that will be Yoshev al Mishpat, to ensure that there is Mishpat, there is no injustice. Mishivei Mulchama Shara, war will cease, and they'll be able to return from war to come back home within the gates of the city of Yerushalayim. Let's just see the Mitzvot, how he explains this. The Alana Midrash, the Midrash Moshe will explain this in more detail. But let's just see over here what it says in the Mitzvot and Rashi, Pasuk Hey in the Mitzvot, Bayomahu Bayomapelus Malchus Ephraim, on the day when Ephraim falls, then who will survive the Malchus of Yehuda? La Teres Svirat Zulema, Yidlu Akavah B'deyes Hashem, they're survivors. The Malchus of Yehuda will attribute their success to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'litzviyas Sifara, Kafal Dan B'ma Sha'amar, L'Shamo Hein Yehuda B'nyamin, L'Ruach Mesha, Pasuk Vav, Hokel Hashem, Yiyya L'Ruach Mishpat L'Misha Yoshev Al HaMishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be for a spirit of Mishpat for those that sit Al Mishpat. Ratzol Aymar, Yechoynein Dahas, Hashem will bestow knowledge, L'Chazokin, to strong people, la'asos mishpat emes. Hashem will bestow chokhmah to people to decide to make the correct decision. You need a lot of siyata d'shmaya to make a good decision in life, and that's what. And that what?
These are judges.
Chizkiyo and you have different gear size. I have different gear cells. Okay, they might. Lugvur. Next words in the Mitzvah. Lugvur for might. Who ye? Lugvur of Bnei Yehuda. This will be a might for you, for the Bnei Yehuda. Shashav milakam hamulchama likanes el shar ha'ir. Lihi so gave shama to take refuge there. What's the loymar? Lo yitzdarchu lugvur es mulchama. They will not need, in the merit of mishpat, they will not need the might to fight wars. Ki hakel hakadosh baruch hu yilochem lohem v'yake es oyev. Hashem will fight their battles, and they will not need to put their lives in jeopardy by going out and fighting wars. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk hey. Rashi bayom ahu ki tam hapeshim, when the enemies cease to exist. Yeah, Hashem tzvokos la'teret tzvi la'tzadikim ha'nisharim ba, ul'ruach mishpat, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'horos mishpat, l'yoyshev ala mishpat, l'gvur yeh lo'oysen shayim mishin milchama milchamta shal Torah. So Rashi is, Kedarko is very midrashic, that those people that engage in milchamta shal Torah, they engage in the war of Torah, they argue with learning in Torah, they in that merit, Hashem will give them might and power and all of the good brachas. Okay, period. So that concludes these psukim here. There's a Gemara that discusses in great detail. Unfortunately, I don't have my thing will have it here. It doesn't have it here in my collection of Midrashim. Yeah, but that's the basic idea of these psukim. So far what we have done with these psukim, we've described after the Churban of Malchus of Yisrael, there will be survivors, the Malchus of Yehuda, under the leadership of Chizkiyahu, the miracle of the death and of all of the soldiers of Sancheirif, and it will be a very good and a highlight, a good time in the history of Klal Yisrael, as we learned many times, that this could have been the times of Mashiach, but unfortunately Chizkiyahu did not sing Shira, and therefore, and that's why...
You explained to us last week why I didn't sing Shira. Because he felt that Tyra...
That's one approach. That's a drush. Because
isn't that contrary to what it says here? If you sit and learn Tyra, you don't have to...
No, not necessarily. It's the only reason why they survive is clear as day, is because of the zchus of Tyra. Chizkiyahu brought about one of the greatest tshuva movements in the history of Klal Yisrael.
But if that was what saved them...
But doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just because you sit and learn Tyra, you have an obligation to sing Shira. You have an obligation to recognize that Hashem has speared us to give Shevach v'Hoida and Halal and sing Shira, Hayiluchud v'Hayiluchud. You give Shira, you go back to learn. There was a requirement for him to give this. This is really, someone told me that's a Medrash Chazis. It's a Medrash. It's a Medrash Chazis that says this, that that was his mistake, even though I told you the name of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, from Rav Mordechai Druk. But Rav Mordechai Druk, he quotes B'Shem Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he quotes this B'Shem Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, and but someone told me it's really, it's explicit in the Medrash Chazis, this idea that he felt that being that he is Torosoy Umnasoy, we have to understand that Chizkiah could have made a Yomtif. This event was just as great as the miracle of Chanukah and the miracle of Purim. There's no commemoration. We don't have any commemoration for this miracle. We commemorate Purim and Chanukah. But way before this miracle, Klal Yisrael was on the verge of extinction. They could have been wiped out. He already conquered the entire Aseret HaShvatim. Who was left? He just saw Yehuda. He should have made Shira. Shira doesn't just stop, mean you give a clap on the beam and everyone gets up and says a Mizmor and Tehillim, like after davening. Shira means a Yom Tov. This will be a Yom Tov for all time to compose special liturgy to Shiros for the Shvachos. It would have been a national holiday. A national how to do it right involves, you know, today every time Chanukah, this Bittul Torah. Chanukah, you are from Yeshiva. Purim, it's a whole week of Bittul Torah every holiday. Someone told me the Israeli Day Parade, Bittul Torah. I have a friend that teaches in a certain day school, and he says for the Israeli Day Parade, you cannot even begin to imagine how much Bittul Torah, how many classes I have to cancel, how much less I can teach because I have to prepare properly for the Israeli Day Parade. So, lachas kala v'kama, you can imagine what's going to go on here. Yeah.
Yeshaya lived in the time of Chizkiah.
Yes.
So how come he didn't, how should I put it, behind him? You know, you see, okay.
You're asking a very good question. You're asking a very good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know the relationships. Obviously, it wasn't so simple. Maybe he did advise him.
Yeah,
maybe.
No, he didn't.
Maybe he did it.
He did advise him on other things. We saw in previous parables.
Achaz, he advised Achaz, he advised all the kings. Some he had a good relationship, he had not such a good relationship. You're right. We don't know those details of the conversations which took place. It could be that Chizkiah was a very great tzaddik in his own right. He disagreed. He felt, keep on learning. Don't stop now. Okay, that is an idea. Obviously, there's more to it. Okay, but now we're returning to the theme that Yeshaya really wants to bring out here. Well, why does he mention this the success? Because he's trying to tell us that this was only temporary. This great success of the survival of Yehuda under Chizkiah did not last forever. After Chizkiah died, so then who came next? Menashe and Amon, and it was a downhill spiral. And what was their Yetzer? So we don't understand. Every generation has a different Yetzer. And the Yetzer obviously at this time was materialism. It was the pursuit of the good life, of Yayin, Sheikha, and everything that represents. And he's telling us that even though at this moment in time Malchus of Yehuda survived, it was only temporary. Because shortly thereafter, they were nichshol in the same exact problems that their brothers, the Malchus of Yisrael, stumbled. The same stumbling block. They also were overwhelmed with the desire to enjoy the good life, materialism, and that clouded their thinking. And before they turned around, Torah was not an ikar. Torah was something which was on a back burner, and the only thing that counted was money, was the good life. And that ultimately brought their churban all the way down to the churban base. And they never really recovered fully, later on there was some other good points in history, but we now begin a spiral downhill. Let's see. The Gan Ela Pasuk Zayin, this did not last. This success, this survival did not last forever. The Gan Ela, these also referring to the Malchus of Yehuda, Bayayin Shagu. Shagu means Shkoga. They made mistakes. They let the Yayin penetrate the good life, get to them, just like their brothers, the Malchus of Yisrael, Uva Shecher Tohu, Tohu means to make a mistake, where Tohu parallels Shagu, Shecher is intoxicating beverage, parallels Yayin. Koyin, who made this mistake? Everyone stumbled, even the leaders, the Koyin, the Rabbanim, the Navi. Navi here means the Navi Sheka. I guess today you would say, you know, we have Rabbanim and we have the politicians, the Askanim. I guess that's really the parallel. Nothing has changed. The Koyin refers to the Rabbanim, the rabbinic figures, and the Navi refers to the people that give advice. Navi doesn't only mean a prophet. Navi many times in the Navi means Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker, Navi is someone that sees the future. They're the Askanim, they're the leaders, they're the politicians, and they're the Jewish politicians that are telling you what to do, should be our outlook for the future. Both leaders, the Koyin and the Navi, Shagu Vashecha, they made mistakes with regard to intoxicating beverage. Nivlu min hayayin. Nivlu means they were swallowed up. The good life swallowed them up and distorted their vision. Nivlu min hayayin. Tohu min hashecher. They made mistakes. He repeats itself many times. Tohu min hashecher. Shogu baroheh. They made mistakes in their vision, in their outlook on life, their hashkafa. What's important? What should we focus on? Paku paku means to make mistakes. It means injustice. It's a difficult word to translate. It means to stumble. Stumbling. Paku means to stumble, like a michshol. Pililia. It means judgment. Judgment. They stumbled in judgment. They made decision, like you do judgment like Kadosh Baruch Hu. You ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like you come to a court, yes, judgment. So Paku Pelila, they stumbled in judgment. The system of justice became corrupt. Their outlook in life became corrupt. They made mistakes. Everyone made mistakes, from the simple person all the way to the Kohen and the Navi. Everyone made mistakes. Why? Because they were swept up in their pursuit of Yayin and Shechar, which is symbolic of the good life. And this was the same mistake that the Malchus of Yisroel made. And here Yeshaya mourns over the fact that although Yehuda survived in the Schus of Torah, it was short-lived, and they also fell into this backsliding. Pasuk Ches, Ki kol shulchonos molu ki tsoa. Yeshaya complains, all tables are filled with, ki means vomit, and so is excrement. Two disgusting waste, two waste which comes out from both ends of the digestive tract. Two waste from the mouth. The key is vomit. Tsoa is excrement. Belima kom. Simply, this means according to almost all the mafarshim, there's so much vomit and excrement all over the place that there's no area in the mokom that's clean. When you go to someone's house, they're drunk. Ad deloyada. This is the full time of Purim. And in their drunkenness, they vomit and they produce waste, and the house stinks. It's disgusting. And you can't even find a clean corner on the table to put down your food or to sit down because there's such hefkeros and such drunkenness that's the degree of merriment and Churban that was happening at this point in time. I think we're all very familiar with the famous Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains, Ki kol shulchan smalu ki v'tso b'li makom, that anyone that eats and does not speak Divrei Torah, v'le omru lov Divrei Torah, kilu ochlu k'mizivchei mesim, a person when he eats does not eat within a Torah dika outlook and say Divrei Torah, it's like as if you're eating Avodah Zarah. It's like as if you are celebrating with idols. And what is the Pasuk Chazal quote to bring out that point? Beli Makoyim. Makoyim is a term which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all know that we go to Menachem and Avraham, we say HaMakoyim Yinachem Eschem. We refer to the Hashem by the word Makoyim. Hashem is Meloi Chol Haaretz Kivoidai. Hashem is everywhere. Every mock of the entire world is Mekoyim Oyshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When else do we say the word Mekoyim? Ba'agada, Baruch HaMekoyim Baruch Hu, as the introduction to the Arbah HaBanim. Now, there's a lot of discussion. You see in the Haggadah many times, this, the connection. What's the connection between, why is it that the only two times we have the word Mekoyim is in the Haggadah and by Nichum Aveilim? So there are different ideas, but there are really three places. There is this Chazal, that every table is filled with kitzaya bali makoim, without a kodesh baruch hu. That people are eating, they're rejoicing, they're drunk, and they're celebrating, and there's no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no thought of the consequences to understand what is the purpose of this world, what's the purpose of life, what's the purpose of eating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not invited to your table, to the person's table. B'lil Makoyim, Hashem is not here. And when Hashem is not here, the food on the table, it may look, it may be healthy, it may be delicious, it may look beautiful, but it's nothing more than ki and tsoa if you don't invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your table and recite a bracha before, a bracha after, and say some divrei Torah and recognize what's the purpose of eating and drinking and being happy and living in this world. So I was thinking that the reason why we have this connection in this pasuk is clear as day, and perhaps that sheds light on the other two. In this pasuk, why don't we say Bli Hashem? Right, kichol shulchan is malu kitzoa bli makom. So okay, we know the pashat, according to the mitzvahs and the Rashi and everyone, it means that the table, there's so much filth, there's just pashat, there's no makom, there's no clean place. Okay, let's put aside the pashat shat. Let's only interpret the pasuk according to the drash. The drash is that every table is filled with waste, vomit, excrement, and Hashem is not present. Hashem is not here. We don't want to know from the Ribbono Shel Olam, stay outside. Stay outside. You're not invited to this party. So let the pasuk say, Kichol shulchanos malo kitzoa b'li Hashem. Let the pasuk say, l'fud d'drash, say b'li Hashem elokim tzvokos elokei Yisrael. Why doesn't it say B'li Hashem? So I think the answer is obvious, that it's not proper, that we're dealing with ki and soya. It's a bizoyin for the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not allowed to mention the Shem Hashem when you are in the presence of something which is dirty, which is disgusting, that an ervod has to be covered. That's clear as day in the pasuk. Why it's impossible, if you want to push the limits and interpret the pasuk, feed the drash, you can't say B'li Hashem. So l'chor, it's the same thing. This is a drush, something which is not, some will tell you the other way around, but I think there's a mahalach. That's why in the Haggadah, and by a base Avel, you don't say Hashem's name explicitly. You refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the kiddush of Makom by the Haggadah. Why? Because who's sitting by the table in the Haggadah? Baruch Hanok and Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnasat Halam Yishal B'Yidush Aso, K'neged Arba Barim Dibur Torah, Echad Chacham V'Echad Rasha. In the presence of a Rasha, you don't say Hashem's name. Because it's just the Rasha to a certain degree is even worse than Kitzaya. Because you say Hashem's name, he'll mock Hashem Chas V'Shalom. He'll do terrible things. It's not a covet for the Ribbono Shel Olam that his name should be mentioned explicitly when you are referring to the Rasha.
When you answer it, you answer it.
Of course, when you answer what this question, absolutely. But I just
use Hashem's name.
Of course, when you come into the seder is Kodesh Kodashim. Everyone tells us that you wear the kittel, the Gilui Shechina. Of course, the general seder is Kodesh Kodashim. But there are many levels. There are many. Here we're about to zoom in and focus. Let's now focus on the Arba Banim. And one of the Arba Banim is a Rasha. So when we focus and concentrate on the Rasha, it's not a covet for the Ribbono Shel Olam to explicitly say his name. Of course, when you answer him, that's really part of the tshuva movement. You bring him close and you elevate him. Already he's no longer a Rasha. Once you begin to talk to him, all of a sudden the rishus dissipates. But at this moment in time, when we're zooming in on the Rasha, it's not bakovedik to say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Just like it's self-understood, it's not bakovedik in this pasuk to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you say the word Ki Tzoya. Same thing. The Beis Avel, it's not a covet for the Ribbono Shel Olam that a person dies. Chet, a person dies because of chet. It all goes back to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. If Adam HaRishon died from the Eitz Hadas, there would be no death. That's what Chazal tell us. Misa is the ultimate Hester Panim.
But when you go out to a Beis Forest, for example,
yes,
tell Moli Rav,
of course.
But using Hashem's name,
of course, there are different levels. Of course, I just want to bring out. You're right. There's no question. Adrabba. Some say
Kumfar
Keret that the time of Misa is the Gilui Shechina. A person sees when a person dies, he sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu to be present at the time of Yitzias Neshama is an incredibly spiritual experience. I'm not denying that, but you have to also focus. There are many layers. It's true. Death brings spirituality. Yeah.
Attitude. So in those contexts, the attitude is not one of crowding out Hashem. Here we're talking. In the pasuk, it's talking about an attitude of making no room.
No, I'm talking about the base offer.
The attitude is one of Kedusha, and it's one of...
There's both. We have to understand that there's no question that death is not something that Hashem wants. Bila hamavis lanetzach, umoch Hashem lukim dim malchol panim. Death is the ultimate hester panim. An avil is potter mikol hamitzos. Why is he potter from mitzos? Why is it not avil? Because an oinim, because a person is only human. And when a person suffers something tragic, you can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, where is Hashem? Where'd he go? How could something like this happen? How could I be in such pain? There is, Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with the dead. Why not? Because everything that a Kohen represents is Kneged death. Death represents the ultimate Hester Panim, the ultimate, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What happened? What happened over here? A Kohen is Kedusha, HaKadosh Shechina is here, you're alive. Death is, on the other hand, is the ultimate spiritual experience. I'm not denying that. But there is a degree of Hester Panim which is not proper for... an Ovel is in a different frame of mind. You don't talk, you're not allowed to... I can't give comfort to a mourner when his mace is in front of him. Now, and Beis Ovel is already past that state, so there is already a time of mourning. But it's still a Beis Ovel. It's a person's a different frame of mind. And that type of frame of mind, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloi Chol Haaretz, Oiz V'chedva B'mikoymoi. There is might and joy in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal Manim Sotel, Oiz V'chedva. So in the Beis Ovel, there's no Oiz V'chedva in the Beis Ovel. It's sad, or it should be sad. That's why it should be sad. It's crying this morning. So where's the Oiz V'chedva? You can't say Hashem's name. It's equivalent to a certain degree of kitzoya. That's why you have to say Hamokoyim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk that he has now. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ois v'chedva b'mekoyimai. And Hashem's mokoyim, Hashem's abode, there is joy. The person comes to Beis Avel. Is there joy in the Beis Avel? No. There's sadness. So if there's sadness, that's kineged what Hakadosh Baruch Hu is. Besides the other idea that I told you that it's the ultimate hester panim. Where is Hakadosh Baruch Hu? You need an enormous amount of muna. So to a certain degree, it's an environment of ki and tsoya. If it's an environment of ki tsoya, it's not lefi kvoido to explicitly say Hashem's name. You can't go say Hashem yinachem eschem. You say Hamokoyim yinachem eschem. I know there are a million other interpretations of what it means Hamokam. I'm just telling you that when you learn this pasuk here, pasuk ches, and you see over here again, they use the word Mokoyim in reference to this theme of that kol lo'eichel, a person eats and does not make a bracha, does not speak the very Torah, ki ilu ochlu mezivchei meisim, and this pasuk is quoted as the source, b'li Mokoyim, which refers to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's clear as day why we don't say a yud kei vavkin, we have to refer to Hashem with a kinu Mokoyim. You take that idea, you extrapolate, it makes perfect sense, at least on another level, why the other two places where we find the word Mokom, we don't say Hashem's name explicitly. By the Haggadah, when we zoom in on a Rasha, it's not Lefi, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to mention Hashem's name with the Rasha, and the Beis Ovel reaches a place of sorrow and sadness, which is Kneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's Kneged the entire Gili Shechin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There also, we refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Kinui of Mokom. That's the idea I want to bring out in this pasuk. I think there's definitely something there. I'm not saying that this is the only pshat chas v'shalom. I've heard only 100 pshatim over the years. I can't even remember them of why in the Haggadah and out of all those interpretations are much more positive, the much more uplifting. But I am panim l'Torah. There are many layers of interpretation, and I believe there is definitely something here that is worthy of mention.
So if you look at a Kukudatsia,
yeah,
Makom is the only place in the...
I didn't look at a Kukudatsia, but I do not know. I do not know, but this is a Chazal. No, I'm sure it says Makom in many places.
Only place in the whole...
No. Absolutely. Makom is all over. But those places, there's no drash. This is a minor Chazal. Kol Oichel, person eats and does not recite a bracha, does not speak the Torah, ki ilu ochlu mezif meisim, shenemar, So from the Chazal here in this specific pasuk, zoom in and express that Mokom refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we now have this idea.
Another example, Yifgah b'Mokom, right? That's an encounter
with the Shechina. Okay, in Achnaim. So it all depends. Okay, we'll stop here.